Let's start with this. This comes from Lao Tzu, Chinese philosopher. He said, every human being's essential nature is perfect and faultless, but after years of immersion in the world, we easily forget our roots and take on a counterfeit nature. I'm going to use this next week as well as the foundation for Behold the Christ in You, but we're talking about looking at others. But today I want to say how we look at through ourselves into the experiences of our world. Don't accept a counterfeit. And know the truth about yourself, that we have this nature, this divine nature that is within us. And we've been immersed in this experience in the world that distracts us from that and tells us all kinds of other things about ourselves and about what's missing from us rather than who it is that we really are. And there's this wonderful word that a friend of mine, I heard first heard her use it a couple years ago, kerfuffle. She's English. And I never heard that word before. And actually, it comes from a Scottish word, actually a combination of words, out of the Gaelic. And it has all kinds of wonderful meanings, but this is the one I like the best. Organizational misunderstanding leading to accusations and defensiveness. Ever seen that? In your family, at work, at school, all kinds of things. So kerfuffle can mean fuss, commotion, disturbance, disorderly outburst, brouhaha. So the ker from Gaelic means awkward or to twist. The fuffle means disheveled, confused, or disarranged. Fuffle sort of sounds like that, doesn't it? So remember the line from Macbeth, the witches, you know, double, toil and trouble, you know, that whole, and if you read the ingredients that they had in their pot, there's all kinds of evil things that they put into that. And this is what happens sometimes, and it's not because our basic nature is evil, but we've just been confused about who we are, and others have been confused about themselves, and so we get into this kerfuffle. And the thing is, if you name it a kerfuffle, it'll be a kerfuffle. And what I really want us to have is this sense that there's a different way of doing it. So the scripture that we have today from the words of Jesus, he says, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. So in that Christ presence, remember he said, if ever two or three of you gather together in my name, there I am. And that I am presence through Jesus, which is what his name means, is the I am will bless you, the I am will heal you, that we have that peace. It says, in the world you will have oppression. Some of the other translations say, you know, tribulation, another way of looking at it. But I like this one. It says, but cheer up. Cheer up. Be of good cheer is the older translation. I have overcome the world. And so what is it that overcomes the world? It's that awareness of that presence and power of God. That's everywhere, which means it's in us, and we can draw on it in our own experiences in our life. And so this is Charles Swindoll. He says, we are all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. A kerfuffle of different magnitudes, of different sorts. But the key is that when we know who we are, then we can live from that truth and that reality of God, and we can bring forth all the blessings of the kingdom into expression right where we are, no matter what's going on, no matter what anybody else is or isn't doing. We have that connection with God in our lives. And so I want to look at how we apply this mind, body, and spirit. And as I was working on my notes, it was interesting, the initials came to mind, SRF, which is Self-Realization Fellowship. But we're going to use SRF in a different way today. But it's about knowing who we are. That's realization of who we are as a part of God. So the S stands for stay connected. This is the mind part. Stay connected with God. What was our S last week? Remember, stay prayed up. And so this is just an extension of that. Stay with that awareness of God, that peace of God, that strength of God. And remembering again that in American Sign Language, the sign for God is this. It's about bringing our awareness down into a deeper level of that presence of God right at the midst of us, right in the center of who and what we are. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's right within us. And so there's this strength, there's this power that comes to us from source if we're connected to it. And so we have to stay centered, stay connected in it. Some people put it this way. They call it to keep the high watch. To keep the high watch. Because it's easy for our thoughts to get down and low and all this type of thing. But keep the high watch. Keep our minds in a higher sense and not be distracted from that high purpose to other people's agendas. And to know what you are about. And kids get that sometimes. There was a series, this one teacher was trying to teach them what Proverbs were. And they said, you'll know these. And so they started and let the kids finish it. So one was, better to be safe than to punch a fifth grader. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. The pen is mightier than the pigs. And of course, this is my favorite one from the kids. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. So just because somebody else has an agenda doesn't mean that you need to line up with theirs. You can have your own agenda working with that. Stay centered in what you are. I remember Charlie Thwaite, who comes every couple years ago, and we'll have him come and do music with us, was taking a group of people, and this is back in the 80s, in the early 80s, back to Russia when it was still the Soviet Union. And there's still a lot of tension in that Cold War. And his intention was to bring Americans to meet Soviets and to help us see that we're just people, people on the planet. And so one of the experiences he had came out as a song, and the way he wrote the words were this: peace I find on every corner, every bus stop, every home I visit in, because I look for it. So what's he looking for? He's looking for peace. What does he find? He finds peace. And so it's the same thing with us. What is it that we want? In the midst of the upset, in the midst of the commotion, in the midst of the things that happen in life, at home, at work, in the neighborhood, or whatever, what are we looking for? If we're looking for a villain, we'll find the devil somewhere. You know? If we're looking for peace, if we're looking for joy, if we're looking for understanding, if we're looking for love, we're going to find it. Because that's what we're focusing on. That's what we're looking for in our lives. With Nelson Mandela in the hospital, a lot of concern in South Africa for his health and whether or not he's going to live. And of course, we know eventually we all move into the next part of life. I was reading about his life, and some one of the most powerful points of his life was the 20-some years that he spent in prison. And they would let him write 3 letters a month. And so he would, you know, if you only had 3 letters a month to write and you didn't have a phone or any other way of communicating, he obviously would put a lot of thought into not only the content of the letters, but who he would send the letters to. And so it was interesting to read some of the one there was in the opposition party in the parliament in South Africa was a woman, a white woman, who was always speaking out against apartheid. And so one of his letters was to her and saying, thank you. Not that he always agreed with everything that she said and that she was about, but thanking her for holding to that truth. He wrote to some of his enemies and some of the other black caucuses and parties that were around, and writing to them that although we have differences, we do have a purpose that we share. So that after these letters, 3 a month, over 20-some years, when he got out of prison, he had all these allies that he had written letters to that felt connected to him and what he was. And so even though in some ways he was disconnected from the world, he knew what he was about, and he used that time in the highest and best way that he could so that when he got out, he could move the country into its next experience, its next evolution. And so we need to, again, what is important to us? What's our truth that we want to hold on to again and again? Nietzsche put it this way: if we have our own why of life, we shall get along with almost any how. If we know what we're about, if we know what our truth is, it'll find a way to work out in our life. And then Paramananda wrote this: there is nothing, no tragedy too great, no malady so incurable that we cannot find something to counteract it if we do not forget to go within. What's our truth? What are we doing? And again, managing our thoughts, managing those ideas with clarity. So here's our affirmation today. I am poised and centered in God's peace, nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. I invite you not just to say these words, I invite you to let these words really work in you, but let's say them out loud to begin with. I am poised and centered in God's peace. And take a breath. And then, nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. So I invite you to let these words just filter in a deep way, not just in your mind, but down deeper in you, and to feel that this is, that I am, again, that sign for God, I am poised and centered in God's peace. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. When one of the dances that we do, one of the spiritual dances, comes out of the Native American tradition, I Walk with Beauty. We've sung the song a couple times in church. And there's a part where we say, I walk with beauty below me. And for that part of the dance, we put our palms down and bend our knees a bit and feel that sense of being connected with something bigger. And so I invite you, as you say that I'm centered in that peace of God. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. To really feel that that's what you're grounded in. That's what you're feeling. That's what you're knowing. That's what you're living from. Another way to language it is this. I am, fill in the blank with, you know, joy, love, peace, wisdom, whatever it is, by truth and by choice. So you could say, I am peace by truth and by choice. Because the truth is, God's truth, capital T, is that peace is present. And if peace is everywhere present, it's a part of us. And so I am peace by truth and by choice. I'm choosing to be that peace. So I invite you to think about what's the word that you want to use to fill that in. It may be love, it may be joy, it may be wisdom, it may be strength. It could be all kinds of different things. It could be a whole sentence that you stick in there. You know, and to think, what is it that you want to be so clear that your mind stays centered on that, that you know that that's your truth, that's God's truth for you. And nothing can shake that. Nothing can take that away. It's God's truth and it's my choice. It's God's truth and it's my choice. I'm going to be that life of God by truth and by choice. I'm going to be that love of God by truth and by choice. That's who I am. That's what I'm working on. And so that in the midst of the fray, you can just be moving with this sure sense of who and what you are, peaceful and purposeful, right in the midst of it. Olympia Morata wrote, God is a light to our feet. Let us not be troubled by man. For what is man if not a fleeting shadow, a windblown leaf, a fading flower, and vanishing smoke? So is there anybody who seems to be against you? They're just vanishing smoke. If you know your truth and you live from that, you'll bring a reality that will be sustained. And so our job is to keep that in mind, to work with that in mind. One of the challenges that Spirit told me to sign up for was to run for our board on our homeowners association. If you've ever been in a place where there's a homeowners association, it's interesting. And we had a couple Mondays ago, we had a 4.5-hour board meeting with lots of folks who weren't happy. And it's so interesting to have people, you know, saying things about you that you know aren't true. And letting it be, letting them say it, no, I know who I am, that's not about me. And just being able to hold that peace. Because most of the board members, they want to react, they want to justify themselves, they want to give this history, and I said, you know, we don't need to do that. Yeah, just be clear, and be peaceful. And eventually we'll get it, right? So that takes us to the R in SRF, to relax. And this is about the body. So many times we're talking about taking a deep breath, you know. Because we hold tension in our body. And usually that tension comes from the way that we're looking at things, the way that we're thinking about things. But sometimes it helps to relax the body, to take a deep breath, because then we can clear the mind as well. And so to work with the body makes so much difference. And again, most of us carry tension in our shoulders. Many of us carry tension in lots of other places, in our neck, you know, in our stomach, our backs, you know, our legs, all kinds of things. And so, again, just take a moment, just tense it up, and then let it go. So be conscious, and be present to the body. You know, if you have a pet, what's the first thing they do when they get up from a nap? They stretch, don't they? They're not in a hurry to go do anything. They just go, because that's what they've got is their body, you know? And so they don't have, you know, sometimes we think they think, but I don't think they really do. They figure us out sometimes. And so taking care of this physical form, even though it's temporary, we know that. But in the meantime, here we are. And so it's part of the vehicle for spirit. You know, Jesus called it the temple of God, that our body is the temple of God. And so to recognize that our body can help us in the midst of the kerfuffles of life to by opening up and staying centered, breathing. One of the interesting, a couple years ago, I had some difficulties with my knees, with some pain in my knees, and they referred me to a physical therapist. And there's two things that he gave me to do that have been so helpful. One is to stretch. Just to sit on the floor and to stretch and pull the feet back. And it stretches back here. The other thing that he showed me was interesting, that looked weird when he first did it, is to take the kneecap and to just to relax and just push it like this way, 30 times. And then the other one, 30 times. After I did that for a week, my knees didn't hurt. And he says, what happens is we tense up around our knees. I never felt tense around my knees before. He says, we tense up around our knees and then it tightens everything up and things hurt. Relax, let go. Treat the body with love and respect. And it makes all the difference in the world. One person put it this way, to be a peacemaker, you can't shake hands with a clenched fist. And don't we get that way sometimes when somebody's saying something or doing something we don't like? Breathe. Breathe. Open up and let that body move and have the lightness that it's meant to express, that life it's meant to express. The other thing about breathing that's so helpful is when we deep breathe, we get more oxygen in the system, which means we can think clearer and go back to our truth of what it is that we want to stay connected to. Because when we're nervous or upset, we just breathe shallowly like this, and we don't get enough oxygen. So the brain can't work. Breathe, breathe. So SRF, the F is to flex your spirit. And here, this is from Matthew Henry. Extraordinary afflictions are not always the punishment of extraordinary sins, but sometimes the trials of extraordinary graces. Sometimes we're called to be in the midst of a situation so that we can help break through it. And in that process of breaking through, there's a gift of strengthening our own spirit, our own understanding, and the gift of what comes for that breakthrough for others as well. It makes a difference. I like the way Napoleon put it, adversity is the midwife of genius. So if you want to be a genius, face the adversities, flex that spirit that you have and let it express in your life. And of course, sometimes we have these ideas, you know, a child came to his mother, that, you know, the world is a mess and I want to straighten it up. And mother said, great, go upstairs and start with your room. We have this part of us that looks at the world and sees that it could be different, that sees the possibility of how things could be, and to know that we can be the one that makes the difference. But part of it is that we take things so seriously and we forget this energy of spirit that we have, this energy of God can handle all those things. So one of the words that was part of the definition of kerfuffle was brouhaha, remember? So when I hear that word, I have to laugh because it's a funny word, isn't it? So when you're in the midst of a brouhaha, can you ha-ha, go ha 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 ha, isn't this funny? Or interesting, I use that word sometimes, you heard me use that earlier. Yeah. But what if we can treat it that way? The other thing, I was thinking of the word kerfuffle, and in the Irish Gaelic, fuffle is the word for feather. So a kerfuffle is dog feathers. So if you're in the midst of a kerfuffle, just think of dog feathers, and that'll just lighten you up a little bit. And you, again, be able to break through to see that you've got something more that you can bring to that presence of life. There's some reading that where the attribute for the author is the universe, and I don't know where it comes from, but I see it every once in a while. And so here's one of the quotes. What if every shortcoming, slip, or bobble that you noticed in another person, beloved, was choreographed by divine intelligence to be delivered at exactly the right time as a cleverly veiled invitation for you to wonder and ask and think about how you might increase your own awesomeness? And it's signed this way. Yeah, that's how I roll, the universe. So what it's saying, so if somebody shows up in your life and they're acting like a fill in the blank, however you would fill it in, what this is saying is that maybe they're there to call you into higher expression, not to judge them for where they are or where they aren't, but for you to remember that you're connected to that living presence of God and that you have this instrument of a body that you can use as an instrument of light so that you can let your spirit express in every moment whatever is going on. There is a piece here. Someone wrote this. In this little jingle, there is a lesson true. You either belong to the building or the wrecking crew. So are you on the wrecking crew or the building crew? Our choice seems pretty simple and clear for us, doesn't it? In the midst of upset, we can find uplift in the presence and power of God. Claim your high purpose. Stay focused on it in your mind. And then move with grace. Move with the sense that you're in the world on purpose. You're in the world as a blessing. You're in the world to bring that gift of spirit into expression in your life. So my whole sense of this, and I thought I did a graphic, and I didn't. I did it in one place, is think of the words kerfuffle, connection. When you're in the midst of a kerfuffle, think about the connection that you have to spirit. When you're in the midst of some moment of upset, know that there's this uplift that can work in us in a powerful way. This is the gift of God that is ours in every moment, but it only does any good if we open it up. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we can rise up and sail with your spirit, filling us with the energy of healing, with the energy of blessing, the energy of joy, the energy of overcoming. We know that you have put us in the midst of the world, that we may be a light in the world. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.